morning, gentlemen. Let's go ahead and get started this morning. Special thanks to Nathan. Were you by yourself this morning doing all this? All right, man. Let's give it up for Nathan. Wow.
Awesome.
Early start today, too. So thank you, Nathan, for that. Special welcome to Blake Fox, who's here for his first men's breakfast. Congrats. All right. And some visitors as well. Welcome to you guys. Brad and Tyler, glad you're here with us today, too. Welcome. All right, so let's get started. We're going to talk today about social media. You know, in the last 2 decades, it's really changed the world drastically, and it still is. So before we get started, I just wanted to define the term social media, as we're going to use it today, are websites or applications that allow users to create content, share content, and observe content. Okay, so that's the obvious ones like Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. Then you got for a younger generation, you got like Snapchat and TikTok, but YouTube falls in that as well. So these are familiar sites, and there's lots of them. We won't go through the exhaustive list. In January of 2020, a social media marketing firm called We Are Social published results of a worldwide survey. They found that 3.8 billion people in the world use social media. Now, there are roughly 7.9 billion people in the world. So what that means is about half, just under half of the world's population is on social media. I think that's remarkable. In America, 77% of us participate in social media. Now, further, they found that the average person in the world is on the internet for 7 hours a day. Half of that time is spent on social media and communication apps. That means that each user in the world is using social media for 3.5 hours every single day. That's 25 hours a week. Now, this study was released in January of 2020. We all know what happened in March of 2020. So since this study was published, more of the world has gotten access to internet because of COVID. And more people have been isolated and locked down, and therefore you would assume spend more time than even what this study found on social media sites. According to Barna Research Group, 60% of Gen Z, so Gen Z are 6 to 24-year-olds, 60% of Gen Z feels that their generation spends too much time on the internet. This results in 54% of them also saying that they personally waste too much of their own time on it. So almost everybody that says, yeah, we spend more time on the internet and social media than we should, almost all of those same people saying, well, it's me. It's really, I'm part of the problem, right? I mean, it's only a 6% difference. And further, 50% of Gen Z say that they consistently feel distracted. So any way you slice it, social media is a dominant part of our culture. It's been that way for some time, and there's no sign of it lessening. So what are you and I to do with it? Do we participate? Do we not participate? As we look into it today, I'm just going to try to give us some kind of high-level principles, some suggestions of how you personally interact with social media. I think ultimately it's between you and God. I fully believe, though, that for some people, and maybe even some people sitting in this room, likely some people sitting in this room, 100% avoiding social media is the right option for them. For others, participating in it would be completely fine. But for us as Christians, we should certainly use some general biblical principles to guide our specific actions when we are relating to the internet. So we're going to go through three kind of high-level aspects and considerations for each of us in social media. There's a lot of subpoints under each, so I'll go through those subpoints super quick. Hopefully you can take notes fast enough if you're here to take notes. If not, you might have to listen to it again to catch some of the subpoints. But The three points I'm going to go through is awareness, having a plan, and representing Christ. Okay? So just like anything else in life where you're trying to figure out how you're supposed to interact with it, we all need to be informed, right? Marching forward with our eyes closed is going to lead to disastrous consequences in almost anything, and most definitely in social media. So in no particular order, here are some things that I think we all need to be aware of if you're not already. First, social media platforms are designed to make money. So the engineers of social media, they care about making a profit. They don't care about your well-being, right? So everything they do is designed to help you add to their financial worth, to use you to add to their financial worth. So you need to be eyes wide open. Secondly, social media is designed to be addictive and thus pull you further and further into depending on it, so you keep coming back over and over and over again because it's designed to make money. So if they can addict you to it, then they think they can make more money off of you. And I'm not talking about you opening up your personal wallet and pocketbook. You may be sitting here saying, I've never entered my credit card in any of these social media accounts. And that may be true. However, they're using you and your clicks to get money from other sources. Okay, so if you go down certain paths in social media, then there's a value to that, and they can sell that value. And that's how they're making money off of you. According to a 2018 Harvard study, social media lights up the same part of your brain and my brain that lights up when we use some of the most addictive drugs out there. Okay, now it may not light it up to the same degree, but it's in that same neighborhood. So the same types of drugs that interact with our brain to the point that causes us an addiction to them are interacting and being triggered when we use social media. That's why I believe that just like for people that are addicted to drugs, for addicts, the best remedy is 100% abandonment. That's why I think for some of us, quitting social media altogether, or at least periodically taking prolonged absences from it, is probably a pretty wise move. Number three, beware that more and more studies are coming out that strongly link social media usage to mental depression. So the opposite's also true. There's more and more studies coming out that if you shrink your use on social media, it actually improves your mental outlook and self-assessment. Number four, lest you think that social media is completely bad, there are benefits to it too. It does inexpensively connect us to people around the world. You know, during the pandemic, when our church went for the first time in streaming our services, you know, we were receiving comments from people in Bangladesh and Indonesia, at least I noticed. And you know, who knows from around the world, folks that are going back, we can kind of see maybe those who are watching it live, but then those that pull it up later on, it's harder to track those. I think you can, and perhaps those that manage our accounts could maybe do that one time and kind of show the footprint, but it does connect you around the world. More recently, a college friend of mine passed away, and word circulated on social media about this, and there was a tremendous response financially to help his family. He left behind a widow and two young children, ages seven and two, and there was a great financial response to helping them during this surprise and tragedy. And also, that's how word spread, so people could honor him at his memorial service and so forth. So that was all done, or primarily done, through communicating via social media. So there are benefits in connecting us, and or ways that we can use it in great benefits in connecting us. Number five, there is no quicker or more inexpensive way to consistently circulate the good news of Jesus Christ right now than through social media platforms. I mean, it's free to log on to a Facebook account and post a scripture verse right now. I mean, we could just do it instantly, and who knows how many people could see that, right? So it's certainly not a perfect substitute for face-to-face relationships. This past year, more than any other time, has demonstrated that. But one of us can mentor pastors in India right now via a social media platform. We could post scripture verses daily to be read by countless observers. We could join in prayer chat rooms that are filled with intercessors from around the world praying together for a specific cause or task. We could listen to worship music. You know, you can find anything on YouTube almost from a worship music standpoint. And the list goes on and on for how it can be used to encourage both your own personal faith and the faith of other people. Number six, we need to be aware that our footprint on social media has permanency. So what we post can be pulled up years from now, okay? And even if you think, well, I'm posting on something where it tells me it disappears in mere minutes or hours, that's not, they can grab it, okay? So that's been happening around the world. We're seeing that right now in the cancel culture movement that's preeminent right now in many places because of just past just careless comments or what you might think was a joking comment years ago is pulled up and taken seriously and out of context or even in context, you know, 10, 15 years later now, and people are paying the price for that. Finally, we need to be aware of our own usage. The amount of time we are personally using, we have to be aware. This isn't something you just let drift away in terms of your personal use of and the amount of time you're spending on social media. You need to understand it. Our phones track all of this info now. We need to periodically review our usage so that we know exactly how much time we're spending across our social media platforms personally. And for fathers and husbands in here, I would advise to take a proactive role in holding and helping our family be accountable in this area too, and leading in that way. So if you're not monitoring your own interaction with social media, then how do you know if you're on target for where you want to be? And that leads us to our second point today. We need to have a strategy. This is a helpful life principle, I think, that works in many areas. You need to plan out what you're going to do, and then you need to do what you planned out. Okay? So when we don't have a plan for things and we just go along with the flow or we drift without purpose, we're going to get in tremendous trouble. And many times it's going to have lasting damage to us personally and to those whom we care about most. Saying, I got some time to kill, so I'm just going to pull out my phone and see what's up. That's going to be a recipe for self-inflicting harm many times. So we need to have a personal plan to keep us disciplined and self-control in the area of social media, because naturally we're people that don't do things less we don't naturally just reduce those things, right? If it's fun, if it's entertaining for us, we do it more and more. We thirst for it. Right? So we're naturally not people that are bent towards, wow, that's fun, I'm going to stay away from that. Right? It's the exact opposite. That's fun, I want more of that. Okay? Or that's interesting to me, I want more of that. So my encouragement to you is to think through, to put together a personal strategy and then measure your progress. And I'm not going to get into specifics and tell you what to do. I think you need to discern that. But here are a couple concepts that I think are good in evaluating. So the first thing in having a strategy and social media that I would recommend is to plan to spend time with God personally, okay? So have a personal plan of spending time daily, consistently, weekly with God, because the time that you're spending personally with God outside of social media means that you have less free time to spend on social media, okay? All right, so my first recommendation is to make sure that you're squared away with your personal time spending with God and growing in your faith and as a family as well. Number two, plan to use social media activity to point people to Christ at least some of the time that you're using it, okay? So I'm not suggesting that anybody in here has to wake up every morning and by 8 a.m. post, you know, their favorite Bible verse for that day, okay? Some people do, and that's fine. But I don't think that's for all of us. And I'm also not saying that we all need to rush into every argument in social media to defend the cause of Christ, okay? Jesus is a big guy. He can handle a lot of things without our input, trust me. But there are times when it's great to to certainly promote Christ and scriptural truths into certain arguments and disagreements, and we need to do that carefully, and we'll get into more of that. But I do think that all of us should use this tool that God has given us to bring glory to God in some way. So I'd challenge you to think through that part of it. Number three, I would suggest you communicate with real humans outside of social media. All right? Plan face-to-face visits with people. Call people on the phone and talk to them. FaceTime people, okay? I know I'm like, oh, wow, that's a social media app, right? But to have a video conference call with somebody that's on another part of the country or the world, okay, directly, one-on-one, all right, is a great resource to use. And, you know, even better than maybe a phone call, because you can see their laughs and smiles and facial expressions and all those things. So you know, that's good. Text people directly. You know, my wife averages 1,800 texts a month. That's 60 a day. She does 60 texts a day, okay? I do like maybe 300 texts in a month, okay, according to our cell phone bill. But, so you know, but she's talking to people. That's how she's having a lot of her conversations with people. And they're not just like brief conversations. I mean, I've seen some of the, I mean, there are lines and lines of texts back and forth where her and her friends are having, you know, serious, meaningful conversations via text. It's just part of the way society is right now. For the younger people out here, I know my sons don't do text right now. They do direct messaging, which has a similar, it's a similar vehicle for that type of communication. Mm-hmm. So I would advise you against using like Snapchat and other types of things where things disappear. Because there's a low accountability, right, in those types of platforms. I think anything that promotes itself as not having a permanent record for what you are going to say, do, or be able to show to others is not a good idea to invest your time in, okay? So increase the time you choose increase the time you choose for personal communication with people more so than just a general public post or reading other people's posts. Number four, limit your daily time on social media. All I'm going to say about the time range on this is, to me, 3.5 hours daily on social media sounds like a lot of time. As I've already mentioned, studies are coming out that show the more time linked to social media, the more higher your aptitude for mental depression is, and the less time on social media, the better mental health you're going to be. So let's give that a try. Set a timer if you need to. You can also set limits on your phone, you know, that when it reaches a certain length of time, it won't let you into these apps anymore. For some of us, that's maybe a good idea to do that. But I think also giving ourselves days away or a fast from social media is a good periodic practice as well. Number five on our plans, we need to plan to be careful in choosing our moral authorities through social media. All right? I mean, QAnon said it, so it's got to be true, right? Just be careful. Very few of us are experts in things or really know what's going on in a variety of ways. And so social media has given everybody a voice, and it's given everybody an appearance that they're a PhD in every subject, right? And none of us have done the work or the learning necessary to really be an expert or PhD in that particular subject. So let's be careful there. Plan to be careful there. Also, very similarly, I think we should plan to limit our news information consumption from social media, because, again, these sites are designed to make money off of us and to get us to click and stuff. They're not first and foremost interested in informing us, okay, with accurate factual news. So I think we should plan to be careful there. There's a low threshold for posting things that are actually factual on social media, and that's by design. In many ways, that's not a bad thing. But unfortunately, fact checkers, they belong to the platforms, and so they're there to serve the agenda of the platform owners, okay? They're not there to be an unbiased determiner of truth. So I don't read any news linked to any of the ads or anything on social media. I've trained my eyes to go over really all the ads. Really, when I'm on social media, the things I'm looking for are updates from my friends and family, okay? That's what I want to see, and all the other stuff I just tune out. Number seven, plan not to get into every debate or voice every outrage that you have on social media. You need to plan for that. Let me tell you this. The best posts I've written in my entire life have all been deleted. I'll tell you, I mean, they're logical, they're passionate. I got some good zingers in there. And then I have a practice of just waiting a little bit and say, okay, do I need to post this? And almost every time, I'm talking 98% of the time, if I write this nice post, right? And sometimes I spent like 20 minutes doing it. And then I'm like, I'm just going to let it sit there for a little bit. I'm not going to post it. And about an hour later, I realize I'm not going to send it. I don't need to. I shouldn't. And I've deleted it. And every time I'm glad that I did when I look back to it. I'm glad that I did. In fact, in some ways, it was therapeutic enough just to write it and then delete it, right, for me personally. So just plan to be careful there. Finally, in the aspect of planning, have a plan to block illicit content. Pay for that service if you need to. Pornography and crude and violent images is not something that we should be drinking in because, again, we're wired to only thirst for more of it. Those things are highly addictive of themselves, and we don't need them packaged in also the addictive wrappings of social media because that combination together is just too hard for us to limit and manage on by ourselves. And if you are in that spot right now, then I would suggest that the only solution for you is full avoidance, to get off of it completely and ask for help from somebody even in this room, and we'll be glad to help you. All right, finally, final point. If we're going to use social media, then we need to also recognize that we don't get a break from representing Christ as believers in Christ. We don't get a break from representing Christ on social media. It seems like some people just turn into a different personality when they're on social media, maybe than what they are in face-to-face. You know, I'm kind of amazed sometimes. I mean, it's not tons of people, but I'm surprised when sometimes I read things that people post and I'm like, I've never heard that person speak so arrogantly or degrading or heartless when I've had a face-to-face conversation with them. So it should go without saying that the type of person we are on the screen should also be the type of person we are in this room with each other. And I would say that if you're not going to say it here, then you don't need to type it there, okay? If there is a verse that is a good guiding verse, I had something else picked up, but Wednesday night when Micah shared verse from Titus 3:2, it was like a bullseye. I was like, this is a great mantra for all of us to have when we interact with social media, right? Micah 3:2 says, to speak evil of no one, to avoid quarreling, to be gentle, and to show perfect courtesy towards all people. I mean, that's a great attitude for us to consistently have as we interact in social media. Just a couple suggestions in representing Christ or how to make sure we're maintaining a Christ-likeness while using social media. I'm going to start with the points from those verses. Number one, don't speak evil about people personally. Now, we can challenge and question certain actions and spoken words and concepts and thoughts that people might put out there. But to assign evil labels to their personhood is not the route we should be going as believers, especially if we're assigning those labels over a post they made or an article that they circulated or published, okay? Number two, avoid quarreling. I run as far away from social media arguments as I possibly can because I don't see people saying, you know, you're right, I'm wrong. Thanks for showing me that. I'm going to change my opinion. I'm going to live differently now. Nobody says that. Everybody's like, no, I'm right, you're wrong. No, I'm right, you're wrong. And it's just back and forth. And so there's not productivity there. But if you must jump into the fray, then I think you should state your contrary position one time with class and don't get in a back and forth. So the times that I haven't deleted, like the 3% or 2% of the times that I haven't deleted, I've been sure and consistent to just make one post and that was it. So even if they come back and stuff, I was just like, I'm just going to interject here. You know, maybe some truth, some gentle truth or some question that might get them to think from a different side. But I'm not going to jump on the back-to-back publicly. Now, I may take it into the message, you know, a direct message with that person that might have said, hey, what did you mean by this or that? But But the, you know, the public going back and forth, I just don't see much fruit in that. Number three, be gentle and compassionate, as it says in Titus 3, to be gentle. Our words should be filled with grace and seasoned with salt. And sometimes I think we forget that when we type something out, it's still our words. It's just a different message, right? Our mind and our heart form our words, and our tongues speak them out, right? But when we're in front of a computer screen, our mind and our hearts are forming our words, and our fingers are typing them out, okay? So it's still our words. They still should be seasoned with, or filled with grace and seasoned with salt. The last part of that verse, show courtesy to all people. When you post a position, and this is something in my house that we've been going through with our sons as they're forming their, you know, attitudes and positions on things, we've, you know, had to work with them in recent months on just getting them to stop and think about how what they've communicated will be received by somebody who thinks differently than they do, or maybe on the other side of the issue, okay? We need to make sure that we're framing our position in a way that takes into consideration that somebody that thinks or lives differently from what I'm about to say is also an image bearer of God. And they're due respect in that light as well. Okay, so I think we should be careful with how we frame our positions by showing courtesy to all people on all sides. Number five, we should be an encourager. Okay, emphasize what is noble, what is right, what is pure, what is lovely, what is admirable. If there's anything that's praiseworthy or excellent, dwell on these things. Right? Philippians 4. Yes, the word of God applies to our social media postings in every way. We shouldn't be known as much for what we're against. Okay, we need to be, you know, also communicating things that we are for and thankful for and grateful for. Number six, second to last one, don't look to elevate your own image, all right? So as we're representing Christ and being Christ-like, don't look to elevate your own image, all right? I'm talking about vain attempts to maybe get attention or make yourself feel better. You know, we don't need to be saying, you know, I'm so humbled that my latest video that I posted went viral on YouTube yesterday, right? You know, hashtag humble. Right? No, we don't need to do that, okay? We should be real and authentic. Share about your life. Share about your interests. Share about your achievements and your activities. Those things have purpose and meaning. Rather than you standing in your living room and showing us your new outfit or your new dance moves or maybe those types of things that don't have quite as much. They may be meaningful to you, but most other people aren't going to care about those things, okay? Finally, as we are representing Christ or being Christ-like or having a Christ-like attitude on social media, remember not to use social media as a comparison tool, okay? This is most often going to lead to envy. So here's why this is important, especially young people, right? This is what we need to understand. Social media is used by everybody to show their very best moments in life, right? We show our pictures of our great vacations, and we show pictures of our date nights, and we show pictures of our home improvement projects, and we show pictures of our workout selfies, right? Nobody's showing pictures of, you know, their busted water heater and all the water damage it did on the floor, right? Nobody's showing pictures of their burnt biscuits that they pulled out of the oven, right? We're only showing the pristine stuff, right? So we need to understand that people don't use social media to post their deepest hurts, struggles, and so forth. And that's right, because it's not a safe enough spot to do that. You share that with your close and intimate friends. All right? So when we are on social media and observing in social media, okay, you're operating from an understanding of your full life. You know your good stuff and your junk. All right? But when you're observing other people's life, you're just seeing their good stuff, which is just part of the puzzle. So that's why it's an incomplete and really incorrect to use this as a comparison tool, because you're just getting a part of the puzzle. You're not getting you see your complete puzzle, but you see everybody else's just the sections that they're willing to let you see. And it's always the best scenery, right, that they're allowing you to see. So be very careful. And I think, men, this is important for our wives, too, to to hammer home that specific thing, because it, I think it for ladies, that's a bigger challenge than it may be for those of us in this room. Okay, so again, the three things that I think we all need to have a grasp on, or a plan of attack, so to speak, is we need to be aware, constantly aware, keeping ourselves informed about our own social media habits, as well as the nature of the beast and what its purposes and what it wants to do with us or do to us. We need to have a specific plan or strategy for ourselves, and lead in our family in that. And we need to always be Christ-like. We need to make sure that we're representing Christ on social media. And before we pray, I just want to say, you know, there's no specific, as I was putting this together, there's no specific examples. I know people may read this and say, well, I've done that, Scott, and you were advising not to do that, or I didn't do this, and you're advising to do this. I mean, no personal examples other than my own were kind of used as I was thinking through that. So, but it's like, you know, 3.5 hours a day, what the average user is using. So if we're investing, we're asleep for 8 hours a day. So you know, between your sleep and your social media use, you've just exhausted half of your 24-hour period. Okay, so that's something that we should give its due weight to. Okay, let's pray. Father, thank you so much, Lord, for just who you are, and I thank you, Lord, for the gift of social media in this day and age. It's for this time, Lord, and there's been a lot of good. There's been people come to Christ. There's been people encouraged and built up in their own faith through social media platforms. But, Lord, just like anything else that is good, it can be misused, and it can turn into something that's very bad as well. And so, Lord, we just want to just submit ourselves to you. I just pray for each of these guys that they'd seek you out and continue to seek you out. I know that many people in here have a self-discipline plan, and they're working it out daily, and may they continue to do that. But for those that may not, Lord, I just pray that you give them the discernment they need to put together a plan, to be aware of their strengths and weaknesses within this, to always be Christ-like as they're interacting with social media. Lord, just lead them in those steps and help them lead others. Lord, if there's anyone in here who's really struggling with their social media use, who's ashamed of their social media use maybe, or just stuck in bondage in how they're using it, Lord, may you give them the courage to just come and discuss with me or another elder or someone else here that they may have a great relationship and trusted relationship, and may we stand ready to help them, Lord, because we know you want us fully free in every way. So we bless you, Lord, and thank you.